You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Good evening to you once again. Welcome to the second and final hour of this show. It is a Business Sense on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. 27th of January at 2025. That's where we are. And so I do think that we can still say Happy New Year to you because the first month has not gone by. And I know that for a lot of us, we are still settling in. I know people who are going back to work only on the 25th and all that. Like, people have DSTV, nice life problems and all that. So I suppose we are not late. So Happy New Year to you. We wish you nothing but the best for 2025. It is a Monday, so we're talking personal finance. So we're saying, how do we then prepare for a recession? And I know that's not a pleasant conversation because recessions come with a lot of things, right? A recession might come or it might not. That might be the case. Your job may be secure, or it may not be. I think COVID has taught us that even the so-called conventional secure jobs, they were not so secure anymore, right? The economy may be stable for the next 5 years, or it may not. In any case, it never hurts to be prepared. So today, we want to focus on actions that we can take to prepare ourselves in the event that we do find ourselves in the middle of some kind of financial hurdle or some kind of recession, a sudden unemployment, and those sort of stuff. And so we're discussing then how to manage our money and finances even during a recession, and who better to help us understand that. It is Zungai joining us this evening. Ma'am, once again, good evening. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, and thank you for having me.
We really love having you, and thank you so much once again for your time this evening. Really appreciate it. So far, so good, I assume.
Yes. 2025 has started off on a bang,
okay,
and I'm grateful to God for the big things we're about to receive.
You're about to receive. So there's already planning going on right there.
Oh, no. We are now in the execution phase. Planning was at the end of last year.
I remember you did say that. We are executing. We're not planning this year. We planned last year. We are executing this year.
Now it's all guns blazing, all engines firing.
Look at that. Before we even get into this one, I love this point that you're making. Advice for young people, like, we want to fire and you're already firing. What can young people do to fire better now? Because I know a lot of us are like still struggling with just settling into the year.
So I say proper planning prevents
poor performance.
Poor pathetic performance.
Okay.
So the good thing is you're only 12 days into 2025.
Yes. So
do yourself
don't
a
be
favor.
Pathetic.
And still set those goals if you don't have them.
I
say categorize your goals.
Okay.
Have financial goals.
Okay.
Have fitness goals.
Okay.
Have family and friends goals.
Okay.
Have future goals.
All
right. So even have faith goals. Right. So have goals for each important section or segment of your life. And don't have 10 fitness goals. Because you get overwhelmed and you don't do anything.
Yes.
So maybe have your top three.
Okay.
And tell yourself, if I could mark off one of these goals once every 4 months, I'll have done a lot for myself. Because then you've moved from where you were at the beginning of the year.
Every facet of our life have top three. And I suppose every 3 months review, look at what you have done, execute and see all of that. Oh, I love that. Got it. And I think that makes a whole lot of sense. We know you. We love you on this show. But there may be some new listeners. Can you tell them a little bit about yourself?
So my name is Tsengai Masindege, and I am an award-winning certified financial planner. I'm extremely passionate about helping people with sustainable generational wealth creation. So how do you make your money make you more money? How do you make sense of your sense? Okay. So I'm the person you come to if you are interested in financial freedom, you're interested in creating a legacy, and you're that person who actually wants to live life on their terms financially. Because we have to be winning somewhere in life. And for me,
Please.
you must start by winning financially.
That's very true. That's very true. Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for that. And really, I appreciate that. Now, we're talking about recession, and more importantly, how to then prepare for a recession. But perhaps there might be people who may not know what a recession is. That big word that we often hear in the media and TV and radio and all that, and Business Sense has jumped on that furore as well. So, what is a recession?
So, in the simplest terms, a recession is when the economy is not growing or is experiencing negative growth.
Negative growth, okay.
Yes. So, if last year, as an economy, we managed to produce 100 billion worth of revenue, in the recession, you are now producing 80 billion. So instead of growing forward, there's less growth in comparison to what was expected. And in most instances, that growth is even negative. So
Negative.
instead of producing stuff, we are importing more stuff because we don't have the
Yo.
capacity to actually be producing our own goods
Yes.
and services. So recessions are not a good thing at all because it means that the economy is under financial strain.
Should I care, for example?
Of course, you must really care because what happens is if we're not producing enough goods and services in the economy, it means that there are limited opportunities for the exchange of value. We make money when we exchange our goods for money, when you exchange your services for money. Now, if there are no goods and services being produced, what it means is that we have to borrow from outside. That means that jobs are at stake in this country, and there's less money to spend, less money to go around. There's less demand as well, because now there's less money to go around. That's when retrenchments then come in because there's not enough purchasing happening of the goods and the services being offered. So, yes, if you hear about a recession, start 10 days of prayer and fasting. Just kidding.
You know what you just did there? You unboogeyman the recession, because it always sounds like the boogeyman or the elephant in the room. And just by adding 10 days of prayer there, it feels unboogeyman now all of a sudden, right? So it means it's something that we can work through.
Yes, you have enough faith to live through
To
it.
live through it. And I suppose that's the reason for today's conversation, right? To say, how do we then better prepare for that? So I want to then say, now that we understand what a recession looks like and what it means, and the fact that you've underscored, you should be bothered when you hear there's a recession because of, people lose jobs, unemployment, negative growth, and all those sort of stuff are important. Now, preparation then. Let's talk about then the preparation. It is something that's unforeseen, right? This recession thing. No one can know for certain when it will happen and all that. So what are some of the circumstances, I suppose, that may be unforeseen that could then land us in financial trouble if we are unprepared for a recession when it comes?
So the one big thing I would definitely advocate for, because there is a high probability that retrenchments will happen in the event that there's a recession. So now, when there's no murmuring about a recession or talks of a recession, make sure you set up an emergency fund.
Emergency fund, okay.
And what is an emergency fund? It's a kitty you can live off that should have savings equivalent to at least 3 to 6 months worth of your monthly expenses.
Okay.
And in building an emergency fund, I say pace yourself.
Pace yourself.
Categorize your expenses into the fixed non-negotiable expenses and the variable expenses. The fixed ones are, for example, your bond. Whether you are unemployed or you're employed, the bank wants its money every single month. And you can't really wiggle out of that obligation on a monthly basis. Paying your rates and levies could also be another fixed expense. Paying your electricity bill, your water bill, those things don't go away because you're unemployed. So in the first instance, your emergency fund must cater for your fixed expenses.
Yes.
Then the idea is then to grow your emergency fund so that it can also now start catering for your variable or flexible expenses.
Okay.
Things such as your groceries. Because remember, groceries are flexible. Yes, they happen every month, but you can decide, is it a 5,000 rand grocery or is it a 2,000 rand grocery bill? Okay. So you can plan for the 2,000, which is your basic budget for the groceries in the first instance. And then as time grows on, you can then start incorporating more and more things into your grocery budget.
Okay. All right. So build an emergency fund. That's really, really important before the recession actually takes place, right? And you find yourself, I suppose, affected by maybe a retrenchment because the industry that you're in, because of the recession, it's not doing very well. And I'm thinking here, the most recent one, globally, you know, I don't know if COVID, you know, kind of, it can be characterized as also another recession, but we know that we've had countries that went into recession during COVID as well. And so there are those sort of things as well. And some industries were very much affected because of that. So be prepared in advance before the recession actually takes place. And it's something that I'm hearing you saying, that build an emergency fund. Now, I've built an emergency fund, and it just so happens that maybe the industry that I'm in is affected by, I suppose, a recession and there's retrenchments and all those sort of stuff. How do I then manage my finances in between maybe trying to recover and getting myself out of the dark cloud that I find myself in?
So before I even go to managing your finances when you find yourself in such a situation, there is another risk management strategy besides the emergency fund that you should consider, which is called retrenchment protection. All right. There's also credit insurance.
Okay.
So I'll explain the two.
Yeah, yes.
Retrenchment protection is offered as a risk management strategy.
Yes.
Where if you become retrenched,
yes,
you are paid a certain amount of money for up to 6 months to help provide financial reprieve as you are looking for your next job. So there are a few companies in South Africa. One which has a blue flame that does offer that benefit at the moment.
Yes.
But you need to apply for the benefit if there is no expectation that there's going to be a retrenchment in your company.
Oh, I see. So that it's not like fraud or something like that?
Exactly.
Ah.
So it's a planning tool. You plan before there's any inkling that this could actually happen, which is why this conversation is important, because these are some of the planning things you can start getting for yourself in the event that this kind of event then happens.
Yes, Yes. Okay.
So retrenchment protection will protect your income for up to 6 months.
6 months, okay.
If you get retrenched.
Yeah.
And it just gives you the opportunity that if you get retrenched and it wasn't a voluntary retrenchment, you can afford your lifestyle whilst you're looking for your next opportunity.
Okay.
And then credit insurance.
Yeah.
Is taken out against your debt.
Okay.
And again, it gives you reprieve so that if you lose your job as a result of retrenchment, the monthly premiums you are supposed to pay on your debt will be taken care of by the responsible insuring company.
Yes. Okay. I suppose even the credit insurance, you take it ahead of time.
Absolutely. So at the point of taking out credit, you're offered that credit insurance.
Yeah.
So if, for example, you're taking out a motor vehicle loan, at the point of purchasing, they do offer you that credit insurance, which normally has death cover, disability cover, and the retrenchment cover.
Oh, so proper planning prevents pathetic and poor performance. So this is exactly what you meant as well, right?
Well said.
So before the recession takes place, plan. I'm in the recession. I've been affected. And this is where my question was to say, do I now ration what I spend on? Do I now afford? I mean, I've got, say, six months of some emergency, my retrenchment protection, all these monies are here. How do I then manage them in such a way that I don't still find myself that I'm still on the back foot?
So it's a very good question.
Mm.
So if you do get retrenched, the first thing I always tell people is don't touch your pension or provident fund unless you really, really have to. A lot of people tend to cash out at that particular point. But what they don't understand is they're stealing from their future.
Yes.
So yes, you're going to be able to solve an immediate problem. But I've been in the industry for 8 years and I'm still to find yet one person was able to replace cent for cent what they took out when they withdrew from their pension or provident fund as a result of a retrenchment.
Sure.
Not a single body or a single human that has been able to commit to putting back that money that they took out at the point of retrenchment. So first and foremost, seek the counsel of a certified financial planner like myself, of a financial advisor, to understand what are your financial circumstances and is it necessary for you to actually take out that pension or provident fund. And yes, in some instances, it is justified because you don't have a pension fund, you don't have an emergency fund, you didn't take out the retrenchment protection, you don't have credit insurance, and literally these are the only savings you have in your life. But if you have alternative means, then please, by all means, avoid taking out your pension or provident fund. So that would be point number two. Point number one. Point number two is you need to do a lifestyle audit. And that you have to do as soon as you are aware that you are probably on the list of people that are going to be retrenched. Because remember, retrenchments don't just happen overnight. You do get a little bit of time ahead. You do also get a severance package. You also would get paid out your leave days, etc. So use that money wisely and do a lifestyle audit, as I say, where you look at remember what we said, your expenses, which ones can you actually go without? Okay. The same way that someone who's trying to get into shape, have a good summer body, would start watching what they eat. You need to actually start watching what you spend on.
That's really a lot. Now I want to then, because you underscored a certified financial planner and financial advisor, right? Any reason why they should be certified? What are we protecting ourselves from, or what could I be protecting ourselves from? Because most people call themselves financial advisors or certified financial planner, and here I am trying to protect myself, plan for a recession if it ever happens and affects my company and industry. But then certified, is that important?
Definitely. You know, I love that question because I say to myself, and I'm saying to everyone else, would you go to a doctor who's not licensed?
No, definitely not.
Okay. So the same thing happens for us as certified financial planners. We are governed by the Financial Planning Institute of Southern Africa. We are held by the highest standard from an ethical perspective, in that we are advice led and we always put our clients' needs at the front of everything that we do. In addition to that, we are expected to maintain serious continuous professional development, meaning that the knowledge we pass on to our clients always has to be the most relevant and the most recent. But also we've gone through a rigorous training process where we've done board exams, we've demonstrated to the institute that we've got the level of competency that allows us to give good quality advice to clients. So the certification is an endorsement of the quality of advice that we are expected to be giving our clients. So it is actually very important, before you get advice, ask your advisor, are they certified? And even if they're not certified, do they have the years of experience? Do they have the evidence to show that they've actually helped ordinary individuals make great financial decisions?
I mean, the last thing you want is to wake up when you are now supposed to cash in because of a recession, you realize someone has gone away with your money, and they pretended like they were certified or whatever the case might be. So one needs to make sure that they protect themselves, but protect themselves in such a way that even with the people that they're engaging in, they'd rather engage with Tsongai, for example, as opposed to finding someone else as well who might not be certified. But I think also what's really interesting about working with someone like you, right, is that there's an understanding of financial goals as well, because some people might not understand why that is important. And to have someone who has experience and can walk them through those financial goals is also very important, right?
Definitely, definitely. So studies have actually shown that individuals that have got specific goals, have got clarity about those goals, have an 80 to 90% chance of actually achieving those goals. So when we come in as financial advisors and certified financial planners, our hope and our aim is to ensure that you have a proper plan that allows you to execute on and achieve those goals. Because remember, if a goal doesn't have an action plan, it's just a dream. And there's no strategy to ensure that it actually becomes a reality. That's where we come in to put together that plan, but also to provide the accountability that's required to ensure that it becomes a reality.
Can one ever be ready enough? So in other words, for unemployment, for example, can one get to a point where they've saved enough for rainy days? And maybe related to that is, how much is enough?
So it would depend, remember, like I said, on your lifestyle audit. If you know that you have got 100,000 saved, as an example, and your current monthly expenses are 20,000, it means that you've got 5 months of financial runway. If you reduce the 20,000 to 10,000, all of a sudden now you have 10 months of financial runway. So that financial audit is extremely important, because what it does is it makes you have that honest conversation of what is the capacity I want. Because truth be told, all right, you can cut out a lot of expenses, but there's also a limit to which you can keep on cutting out expenses, chopping and changing from one service provider to another, because you want to save 100 rand, etc. So it has to be a realistic financial audit, which takes me to point number three. So number one, we said that you actually have to make sure that you do that financial audit, live below your means. We also indicated that you must avoid taking out your pension or your provident fund. And then a third thing I would also suggest you do is consolidate your debt. When you are in a financial crisis, the the banks and the financial lenders are actually quite open to a conversation that avoids you defaulting. Because if you're a bad debtor, it doesn't serve the bank or that credit institution at all. So they are willing to have a conversation about either changing the terms of the debt or actually helping you afford the debt that they have offered you. But very importantly, if you want to restructure your debt, try and do it before you actually get retrenched. Because, for example, with debt management or debt counseling, if there's no proof of an income, it's quite difficult for you to do that. Debt consolidation, on the other hand, doesn't require that conversation between yourself and the banks. You can literally just apply for one big loan that you then use to pay off all your smaller loans, especially the ones that cost you the most. And this is where it becomes very important. Look for cheaper debt to settle the high interest bearing debt. Your high interest bearing debt is normally your
credit cards,
clothing. Yes, your clothing accounts. It's normally your personal loans. Those are the biggest suspects. It's normally things like your store loans. So try and find cheaper forms of debt to finance and close off the more expensive debt so that you end up having maybe one big debt that you then service on an ongoing basis. Also, when you take out the bigger debt, you can negotiate the terms of that particular loan where the repayments are much lower, but they might be for longer. But at least it gives you that financial reprieve or cushioning you might need in the short term to enable you to survive without feeling like you are now drowning.
That's really, really important. Okay. That love that. I was writing that down as you're speaking as well. So these recessions, as we draw to a close, these recessions are not going to go away, right? They are still going to happen, and the economy always has those ups and downs, So in other words, my question is, we need to be better prepared because these things will happen in any case. It's not even a case of might or things that don't really happen, but they will happen because the economy works in that way.
Oh, yes. The economy is very cyclical. What goes up must come down. What goes down must come up. So it's not unusual for you to actually have cycles of bearish market movements or bullish market movements, which means that you have to always be prepared. And the last thing I can give our listeners as a tip is apply for premium holidays. So there are some companies, organizations that will allow you not to pay your premiums for a certain period of time. And it's not every institution and every policy that gives you that option, but investigate and see if it's available to you. So that if you need to buy 6 months of not paying a certain policy's premiums, use that opportunity as you're looking for your next job, but it gives you that bandwidth to make your savings or whatever liquidity you have at that point in time last longer.
Sure, that's beautiful. All right. Mums and money. I know that's one of your most passionate work that you're doing there, but where can people find you? Where can they follow, especially for preparing for recessions?
So like you correctly said, I am the founder of Moms and Money. I'm also a director at IWCP Preventus, which is a world-class financial advisory and wealth creation company. So people can find me, Tsungai Masendeke, on LinkedIn, at Tsungai Masendeke on Instagram, or at Moms and Money_ on Instagram.
Lovely. Well, ma'am, thank you so much for your time and allowing us to have this beautiful conversation with you this evening. We really appreciate you, and may God bless you and open up more doors for you.
I receive it.
2020
thrive.
Yes, we are thriving this year. That's very true. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much, and have a lovely evening. A
lovely evening to you too as well. Yo, love it, love it, love it. Love that conversation there with Tsungai talking to us this evening. It being a Monday, of course, around how to better prepare for a recession. Like she said, better planning, proper planning prevents pathetic performance.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.